Now, we live in a world where one of the questions that we just naturally ask are, is why am I here? Do I matter? Do I matter at all? And how do I know that I matter? And the world answers it in different ways. For some, it says, well, you just don't. You know, you are just you're just a product of random chance. There's no particular rhyme or reason for your existence. There's others who will answer, well, you matter, but we just can't tell you why. You matter, but the only ways that you matter are because, you know, you believe for yourself that you matter. There is no external foundation for your purpose in life. And into that world of confusion, God speaks. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, through Paul, God's word tells us, for we are God's masterpiece. Say with me, masterpiece. Do you know what that means for you? It means you are a piece of a masterpiece. A piece of a masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So you and I, we are a piece of a masterpiece, and we are made for a mission. And that both tells us, you know, where we find our self-worth, where we find our value, because the God of the universe says that you matter enough that he would create you and me and us. It tells us what our life is about, that your life has a purpose, whether you see it right now or not, whether the people around you tell you you have a purpose or not, your life has a purpose. You are not here by accident. Nobody is here by accident. It also tells us something, you know, this idea that because it speaks corporately, because we are God's masterpiece. If you are a piece of a masterpiece, then the only way for you and for me and for us to live life to its fullest is to find some of the other pieces and work together, right? Like you're like one piece of an incredible jigsaw puzzle, but you're not the whole puzzle. It's not all about you. It's about God and his work in the world through us. We are a piece of a masterpiece. Now, this is the final week, 6-week series. I know it's a little bit long, but a series called Escape Your Island. We so easily get to these places of isolation, these places where we feel alone, whether that's because we feel the pain of past hurts, whether it's because we feel the pressure of responsibility, you know, whether it's just because of life change and all these things that we can't control in life. We think, okay, the safest, best place for me to be is to be emotionally separated from the world around me. I'm going to paddle off to my island of isolation. But we've also discovered that those islands, you know, they look like paradise, but when you get there, they're a prison. And so we've been challenging one another to make those connections. It's been really encouraging to me to see how our connection groups are coming together and how just friendships are happening. People are inviting each other over for dinner and going out for coffee, and we are making the connections. It's good. It's good. And today we're going to look at the second part of one of the things that actually knits us together. If you are a piece of a masterpiece, then there are all these pieces of God's work around you. And one of the ways that God's word talks about that is in the language of gifts. You are a gift and you have a gift. You are a gift and you have a gift. And as those gifts fit together, God's mission and work in the world and God's mission and work in you gets increasingly accomplished. Now, last week we looked at, well, there's kind of two long lists in the Bible of spiritual gifts. And all of the passages involving spiritual gifts, you can find them in the insert in your bulletin, if you're looking in your bulletins at all today. But there's two lists. You know, one of them is found in 1 Corinthians, and we looked at that list last week. Of, you know, there's a list that's given that's talking a lot about the ways that we experience God and how those experiential gifts can lead us into places of service. And so I challenged you to be considering to what degree you might have some of these gifts, like wisdom and knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, or interpretation. God still does things that defy just our imaginations and defy just, oh yeah, that's going to make sense. God does things that go beyond what we can do. But today we're going to take a look at the list that it's the one that kind of has more of the seatbelt on. It's the Lutheran list. It's the Baptist list. It's the Presbyterian list. It's the list in Romans. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12. We're going to be doing a deep dive in Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. Now, with the 1 Corinthians list, these are examples, I believe, of things that that God can do. You know, those things like the wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles. God can do those things, and you may or may not have those gifts. Now, with the Romans list, well, Lisa, let's put it this way. I'm convinced that every one of us has at least one of those gifts in our life. Now, I don't have a verse for it, so if you disagree with me, that's okay. But what I do have is 33 years of walking with the Lord and 25 years of ministry experience. So anyway, that counts for something, I hope. But so as we look at this list in Romans, rather than ask, could I have this gift? What I hope you would do is to say, which of these gifts do I have? I believe that this gift list is a little bit like kind of our spirit-empowered personality traits. Like, if you take a personality test, you can't fail it. Now, you might not get the results that you wanted, but you cannot fail a personality test. It's this list is a little bit like that. That we have these traits that are inherent in our life that as we come to Christ, as the Holy Spirit fills us, these traits get empowered by God. For God's work, for God's service, for God's church. So that's the list that we're looking at. Let's take a look. So Romans 12, verse 6. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. So for each one of these gifts, I want to give you a word picture to maybe help to understand those gifts. Talk about how you might know if you have these gifts. Talk about how each gift has a bit of a shadow side to it. There's areas of need that come out of each of these gifts. The gifts tend to be complementary, where we need other gifts to augment each gift. Now, if you have the gift of prophecy, and the way that prophecy functions in the New Testament, these are people that God has empowered to speak forth God's truth, to help keep the church on mission. People that are really naturally passionate about things like justice, evangelism, holiness, these important themes, it's a little bit like a bullhorn. You know, bullhorns are important. They help to guide us at really key moments. Bullhorns are loud. Bullhorns can be a little bit grating sometimes. But they're essential. They help to guide a group. The gift of prophecy helps to guide the church, helps us to get back on track in those areas where we can easily go lax. Holiness, justice, evangelism, and mission. These are values that easily leak, but those who are prophets, you've got to, this is burning in your heart. Like, So whether that's, you know, human trafficking, we've got to do something about human trafficking, or we've got to do something about the fact that there are so many people that have never heard the name of Jesus. There's all these people that have never had a Bible. All these things, they're super important. They're super important. And if you have the gift of prophecy, these values are probably just burning in your heart. You just cannot help but speak out for these elements of mission. That's the positive piece in you. And we need your voice in the church. We need your voice. But there's also a shadow that comes along with that gift when that gift is in isolation. Just like bullhorns, if you're blowing that horn all the time, if it's just blowing the horn, if it's just yelling into a bullhorn, pretty soon your voice will get so grating that people won't want to hear it anymore. Sometimes people with the gift of prophecy can be so passionate about the mission that they actually neglect the community that the mission is accomplished through. They care so much about the issue that they have a harder time caring about the people. So if you have that gift of prophecy, there's going to be some other gifts in the church that you're going to need in order for your gift to be effective. You might want to find, and we're going to look at these gifts in a moment, things like the gift of encouragement. Find somebody to come along and say, well, you know, he says that, but this is how we can do that, and you can actually do that. It's not just about him or her reminding us of how much we haven't done. Because the gift of the prophet, you see the issue, but you might not see the people. So if that's you, be careful with your bullhorn. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to use it. Use it in proportion with the faith that God has given you. That's what God's word says. Remember, faith doesn't just mean bravado. It also implies wisdom and care. Use it. We need it. And look for the gifts around you that can help your gifts to be even more effective. Verse 7, if your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you have that gift of service, you're a little bit like the hands of the church. The hands. If you have the gift of service, you're that kind of personality type that really doesn't like recognition. You just love knowing that you're serving in the background, that you're making a difference. There's people in the church, I know that if I say they're like, thank them publicly, they're going to be like, don't do that. And it's not just that they're shy, though sometimes that's the case. It's also like, you love to serve, and you don't do it for recognition. You do it because you want to see God's work and kingdom advance. It's a beautiful, beautiful gift in the church. But there's also a shadow side to those gifts of service sometimes. That sometimes you can be too quiet, or you have a hard time stepping forward. Sometimes you can be so dedicated to the need that you don't really think about the team. You're serving in this area, and so it can be easily with those gifts of service sometimes to get a little bit isolated. You care about what you're doing and how you're serving, but it's harder to reach out. So again, some gifts like the gift of encouragement or leadership or even gifts of kindness. These are people that you're going to need in your life to not just care about the need, but to also connect with the community. Later in verse 6, if you are a teacher, teach well. How do you know if you're a teacher? If you have ever received a commentary as a birthday present, you might be a teacher. If you are an avid reader, but it has been a long, 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 long time since you've read anything that's fiction, you might be a teacher. Teachers are motivated by knowledge. If some of your favorite passages in the Bible are those lists, you know, like at the beginning of Matthew, and you read in the book of Numbers and you're like, God just met me. I didn't realize the connection between blah, 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 this person and their cousin, and thank you, Jesus. Like, you might have the gift of teaching. Gift of people who, some of us are just motivated by knowledge, and we need it. It's a good thing. It's a really good thing. We need you as connection group leaders. But here's the other piece, though, too. Sometimes those of us with the gift of teaching, we can be so motivated by knowledge that we may have a harder time sometimes with practical application. We may have a bit of a harder time with, how does this piece of knowledge actually get communicated to somebody? It can get a little bit frustrated when not everyone's on that same level. What do you mean you don't want to go into the Greek? That's nuts. It's so amazing. So again, those gifts of teaching, you might need an encourager. You might need somebody with a service gift. You might need somebody with the mercy and kindness gifts just to help you connect and help that important gift of knowledge be applied well in the body. But if you're a teacher, we need you to teach. Moving on to verse 8. If your gift is to encourage, be encouraging. Anytime I've ever taken a spiritual gifts test, that one's up there for me pretty high. You've probably figured that out. Like, I'm the guy, like, I just love texting people. Hey, I'm praying for you. You're doing well. We are the greeting cards of the church. You know, we put these kind of notes. This is, click. Really? There's no, is there, there we go. This is what we're all about. We do this. We love this. And it feels good. We love making people feel good. People like being around. People who are encouraging. I imagine there's nobody here that says, I've just got too much encouragement in my life. Just please knock it off. Can I have somebody just speak doubt into my heart? I'm just too encouraged. Please. Nobody said nobody ever. But there's a shadow side. There's a shadow side to that too. If you're like me, and part of your motivation is you just want people to feel affirmed and good, and you love that, is it's hard sometimes to say hard words. It really is. And so for those of us who have those gifts of encouragement, we're the natural gatherers, the natural connectors. We need prophets in our life. Or we can be so into the good feelings that we forget the important elements of mission. We need the teachers in our life. Or we can be so excited about feeling good that we're not actually going deep into God's word. It's easier for those gifts of encouragement to stay kind of shallow. But do you see how those gifts are interdependent? How they need one another? Okay. Latter part of verse 8. Then give generously. If it's giving, give generously. Now, all of us are called to give, just so you know. And 10% can be a great place to start, but there are people who, like, God has just laid this on your heart to, like, you just love being generous. And here's the thing that I've noticed with people who at least I believe have the spiritual gift of giving. They're actually really good with money. They make good decisions about money. God has just blessed them with the capacity to make money. So if you have the gift of giving, make all you can and give all you can. Because what you give and how you give it makes such a profound difference. Again, the gifts of giving will need other gifts in their life. The prophets to keep them on mission. The encouragers to keep them connected. The people that have those gifts of service, sometimes your role is to help to fund those areas of service. And sometimes you just need those people with the gifts of service in your life just to help you make the connection between the money that I give makes a difference right there. It can be easy to get disconnected, to disconnect the gift from its impact. Later in verse 8, if God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. Here's the word picture that might go along with that. If you have the spiritual gift of leadership in the church, you are a little bit like a coach. You know, you're that encourager, but you're also that trainer. Now, those of you who have been in leadership classes with me, okay? What do leaders do? Leaders, three words. What do they do? Leaders build people. Leaders build people. And so we look at the people in our life and we ask the question, what does this person need for me today in order to thrive? The gift of leadership, that is the catalytic gift in the church. It releases the rest of the gifts. It's not the most important gift. The gifts, I believe, are equally important. But it is the gift that releases the rest of the gifts. It helps people to discover how God has wired them up for service. It helps people to utilize those gifts. It helps to keep the church as a team, kind of like a coach. But leaders, they need prophets too. Leaders, they need encouragers as well. Leaders need people with the gift of service, because often good leaders and good people with the gift of service, that's going to be a really good combination of people that help to keep the team together and the people that just want to be on a team. Has God given you that gift of leadership? If he has, lead well. And finishing it off, if you have a gift of showing kindness, or in some translations it says mercy, if you have the gift of kindness, do it gladly. Here's how you know if you have the gift of mercy in your life is when somebody's having a really, not just a bad day, but like a horrible moment, your phone rings. If someone's in a crisis and your phone rings, it might be because you have the gift of mercy. If you've ever had a time where maybe you've been in a hospital room and there's some horrible thing going, they're dying, or somebody's just passed away, or there's been this horrible accident, and you were in there, and you were praying, and you just ministering, and you go home, maybe you're talking to your spouse, and you say, what was going on? Well, it was horrible. There was blood and guts, and somebody died, and there was just suffering everywhere. And how do you feel? And you're like, I feel awesome. And it's not because you're callous to the need. It's because there's something in you that when you are in those settings of helping to relieve suffering, of helping to come alongside somebody in a difficult time, it just feels profoundly right. Some of you, you're hearing this and you're going, oh, that's why. You like being in those environments. And it's not because you like to witness suffering. It's because you like to help relieve it. You're in the middle of a horrible day and your day is going great. You have the gift. You may have the gift of kindness, of mercy. So three questions. What are you hearing? What are you hearing the people around you say about your gifts and about your talents? Chances are, people around you can see elements of you that you can't see. Right? Second, where are you generally fulfilled? You come away from hospital visitations and you're having a great day. That's probably the gift of mercy. That's where you're fulfilled. You've just spent time with a team and they had this breakthrough moment. And they weren't working together before, but now they're working together. Now you might have the gift of leadership. Friend calls you because they've just had such a discouraging day at work, and you spend 15 minutes on the phone and you pray, and it seems like things kind of turn around and you just feel good. You might have the gift of encouragement. You see something on TV and you realize here's this area of need and we could do something about it, and somebody's got to do something about it, and your gut is just stirring with passion. You could have the gift of prophecy. Do you see how that works? So where are you fulfilled? There is this profound sense of rightness. And on the flip side of that is, where are you frustrated? Especially when you're in corporate settings and a necessary gift is not present. You're going to feel that void. You're in a group and everybody's just kind of being snippy at one another. It could be the gift, and you're just really frustrated by that. It could be the gift of leadership, because you're like, this team could work together. Or it could be, can't somebody just say something nice to somebody else? That could be the gift of what? Encouragement. All of those gifts, all of them work together. And I believe God has given you at least one of those gifts. There's probably one or two of those gifts that are most dominant in your life. And so my hope from this time today, and or if you're other things that can help, are like the spiritual gifts tests, things like that, that can help too. But that you become aware of the gifts that God has given you. That's going to help you to see some of your own strengths. It's also going to help you to see some of the places where you're going to especially need others in your life. Because you are a piece of a masterpiece. We start putting the pieces together. And the fullness of the masterpiece is revealed. The devil would love to have you just stay on that little island of yours. Because if your piece is just out floating in the middle of the ocean, it's not engaging in the mission. Because just imagine what can happen when the whole church works together. So ask yourself the question, how can I help? What gift has God given me? God has given you a gift. God has given you a gift. What gift has he given you? How can you help? How can you contribute? And we need to remind each other that we deeply need each other. As the worship team comes up, would you just take a moment, just bow your heads with me? Now, I challenged you earlier to be prayerfully trying to identify what your spiritual gift might be, okay? So today we looked at seven of them. I'm just going to say them out loud again, and you, if you can identify which for you is probably your dominant gift. Is it prophecy? My friends, the bullhorns. Is it service? My sisters and brothers, the hands and feet. Is it teaching? You wonderful books. Is it encouraging? Like a greeting card. Is it giving? Are you just plain good with money? Is it leading? Are you like a coach? Is it the gift of kindness or mercy? Are you the heart? Take a moment and just consider that. Maybe even just whisper which of those seven that might be, just as a way of interacting with God. You have an essential part to play in God's work in the world. You are a piece of a masterpiece. You need others in your life for the fullness of those gifts to be expressed. And most of all, for all of us, you need Christ. If for any reason today, maybe you're here and you're just processing some of this, all this journey of faith stuff, and you've never given your heart to Christ, or you realize that you've been drifting, and today would be a day that you want to rededicate your life to the Lord. Can we just make eye contact for a moment? Yeah. And congregation, would you pray out loud with me? Thank you, God, that I have a part to play in your work, in your world. Help me to know my peace, to know my gifts, to work with my brothers and sisters. Help us together to be your hands and feet, to be your ambassadors of grace in the world that you love so much. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.